In 1921, an obscure writer by the name of Harry Leon Wilson wrote a lengthy novel entitled Bunker Bean. It tells us an intriguing story about a man who was tricked into believing in himself. Since birth, Bunker Bean was led to believe that he was unworthwhile, inferior to everyone and everything. As he grew into adulthood, he lived a life full of fear and timidity, until one day a false spiritualistic medium convinced Bunker Bean that he was the reincarnation of Napoleon Bonaparte. He was shocked to learn that he was once master of the world and that people were once afraid of him. The medium told him that he actually possessed all of the qualities of the great Napoleon and that the time was ripe for those qualities to come to fruition. The thought of who he was inspired Bunker Bean. He went to the library and voraciously read every book he could find about Napoleon, his former self. He collected pictures of Napoleon and hung them everywhere around his small attic room where he could feast his mind on them. He imitated the speech, thoughts, and actions of his former self. In his own mind, he actually was Napoleon. Wilson goes on to tell of Bunker Bean's quick climb to the top of power, wealth, and fame as a result of his new frame of mind. But one day, the great Bunker Bean discovered the spiritual medium was a fake. He really wasn't Napoleon after all. He had been cheated only for his money. Bunker Bean was crushed. But in the years he had assumed the role of Napoleon, he had formed the habits that go with success. Habits are hard to break. He couldn't change. It was now natural for Bunker Bean to do the things great men did. Wilson concludes that the greatest discovery Bunker Bean made was that every man was born a king. Every man was born to riches. To believe is all that matters. The Soviet Union, in the education of their youth, utilizes a technique similar to the principle learned by Bunker Bean. Early in life, Russian youth are tested to determine their physical, psychological, physiological, and intellectual characteristics. These characteristics are then analyzed and profiled into a document called a psychogram. A child's psychogram is entered into a computer. The computer then matches the psychogram to a Soviet model of achievement, a Soviet citizen who has achieved distinction and preeminence for his or her skills, abilities, and accomplishments. Once matched for similar characteristics, the child is sent away to a Soviet training center where its body and mind is fine-tuned to assimilate the characteristics of the model. After intensive study about the model's lifestyle, thinking patterns, creative style, and attitudes, the children are led to believe that they are actually the model. They are instructed to think and feel the way the model would think and feel under all circumstances. After a short period of time, the young children demonstrate great abilities in the discipline that was chosen for them, whether it be athletics, art, music, or science. The system is so effective that most of the children, in their prime, surpass the performance of their models and often become models for other Soviet youth to follow. The story of Bunker Bean and the account of the Russian system of youth education illustrates an important principle which we will be concerned with in this cassette. This principle, simply stated, is that we become like those whom we choose to imitate or model. If we have the opportunity to emulate models of success, we will acquire the attitudes, values, beliefs, and habits of those models and will probably be successful. If we consciously choose to model our lives after those who fail, or if we have only been exposed to failure-prone models, we will probably live lives of great disappointment and dissatisfaction, lives that reflect the characteristic attitudes and beliefs of the models we use for our life's blueprint. Modeling is a phenomenon common to all cultures of the world. Everything from language, mores, attitudes, behaviors, familiar customs, to religious practices is gradually learned through observing real-life models. In this cassette, you will be presented with a model of high achievement. Through research conducted at Harvard, Yale, Stanford, and the University of California, we have identified a pattern of attitudes and habits associated with high achievers. We have narrowed down these unique characteristics to 21 distinct behaviors and habits, which we have assigned to 5 categories: mental, emotional, physical, financial, and spiritual. The characteristics of a high achiever, which will be presented here, are drawn from a composite profile of high achievers in many different fields and lines of work, including business executives, managers, supervisors, entrepreneurs, small business operators, salespersons, educators, athletes, engineers, and professionals such as doctors and lawyers. The criteria we use to define a high achiever was an individual who achieves his own goals while enriching his own life as well as the lives of others, including his family, co-workers, and subordinates. Once you become thoroughly familiar with the characteristics of this model, you will be able to pattern yourself after the model and create your own personalized images of achievement in your mind. You will be able to envision with sensory-rich clarity perfect and rich images of success. These images will take to seed in your brain and nervous system until they gradually take root and eventually blossom into achievement-oriented behavior. And your high achievement behavior will bring forth a rich harvest of personal success in anything and everything you decide to undertake. As we work through the model and discuss the various characteristics associated with a high achiever and the underachiever, you will notice that in some instances, you will identify with the high achiever and in some cases with the underachiever. Because you may have a few characteristics in common with the underachiever doesn't mean that you are an underachiever. It just is holding you back from experiencing an ultimate level of personal success. Extinguishing those self-defeating behaviors and acquiring the attitudes, behaviors, and habits of a high achiever is what this program is all about. Now, let's examine our model of the high achiever and see what it is that distinguishes the high achiever from the average underachieving person. In the beginning, let's look at the mental aspects of our model. Under the mental habits of the high achiever, we will discuss four characteristics common to all high achievers. The first is sensory goal vision. An unusual trait among high achievers is that they know precisely what they want out of life, and they can sense it multidimensionally before they achieve it. They can not only see it, but also touch it, taste, and smell it, and imagine the sounds and emotions associated with it. The high achiever pre-lives every goal and every desire before he accomplishes or realizes it, and this sharp sensory goal vision becomes a powerful driving force in the lives of high achievers. It is the fire that incites the emotions and drives the man, minute by minute, hour by hour, and day by day to realize the goal. Sensory goal vision is the life force behind motivation. The more clearly the high achiever can sense the goal and its consequences if it's achieved, the more obsessed and committed he becomes to pay the price of long, hard work that is required to achieve it. Michelangelo, the great Renaissance artist, sculptor, engineer, and military strategist, attributed his genius to his ability to first envision what he wanted to create and thus create the work precisely as he had sensed it. He captured the essence of what we mean by sensory goal vision when he so eloquently stated, "What I desire, I must first sense. What I sense, I create." In sculpture, for example, Michelangelo would first envision in raw stone a well-defined three-dimensional image of the work of art he had in mind. When he later went to work with hammer and chisel, he had total recall of that earlier vision and used it as an internal model for the work he was performing. It is poignant to point out that as one walks down the hallway of the museum in Florence that houses Michelangelo's greatest sculpture, the David, one sees blocks of stone with unfinished sculptured arms and legs, each started with great expectation, but rejected by the eye of Michelangelo as being imperfect. To the critical eye of an expert, there seems to be no flaw. To Michelangelo, they did not conform to his original vision. Michelangelo had a vivid three-dimensional sensory goal vision of what he wanted to create. He could sense and feel the finished product in his mind with perfect clarity. This clarity instilled and fueled the drive and emotional desire that allowed him to sustain a disciplined, persistent effort toward his vision. Through the precise application of his skills, which were also developed and refined through hard work and discipline, he was able to carve the marble to conform to the exact details of his vision. And at the end of this hallway of imperfection, majestically stands the David, with every muscle, every vein, and every exquisite contour a monument to the genius of Michelangelo and a testament to the potential of what the mind of man can achieve when it is inspired with multidimensional, goal-oriented, sensory-rich vision. The underachiever, the average person, on the other hand, probably doesn't have a main goal or a life's purpose, nor does he have preliminary goals, the specific things one must accomplish to reach the main purpose. Average people don't know where they want to go because thinking about it is too much work. And if the underachiever did have a goal, it would probably be vague, a string of general undefined words that represent empty shells of thought. For example, they would attempt to describe them like this: I want to be rich. I want a big house. I want to be happy, healthy, and fulfilled. Ask them to describe what they want in specific detail. What does it look like? How does it sound, taste, and smell? What does it feel like? With questions like these, you will draw an empty stare, because the underachiever cannot describe what it is he wants and what he must do to specifically get it. The only limitation of the underachiever is his inability to make the effort to vividly sense what he wants. If he would do this, the electrochemistry of his brain would be put into action, creating the internal drive and desire that would propel him to his desired destination. The high achiever realizes a goal as sort of a deja vu experience. Once he realizes the specific goal, it is as if it had already been accomplished before, because he had pre-lived the achievement in exquisite sensory detail. Henry David Thoreau once said, "If one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life he has imagined, he will meet with success unexpected in common hours." High achievers possess the desire to create, to make something concrete from nothing. They move toward their dream, their vision, like sleek, slender, stalking lions. Move to action by a driving hunger they can see, smell, taste, and feel, the exact detail of the realized goal. The second mental habit that was common among all high achievers is that which we call the law of the harvest, disciplined mental application, or just plain hard work. This is the habit of will, the iron will to go after your vision with super intensity, to sustain a period of long, hard work without receiving immediate results. With faith, you see your vision coming closer to realization with each hour, day, month, and year's effort. Disciplined mental application is the realization that anything worthwhile is going to require hard, hard work. It involves the pursuit of absolute excellence, a feeling of great personal pride in what you're doing. It means going the extra mile and then some. The highways of life are crowded, jammed with those who just put in an average effort, no more, no less. For the high achiever, there isn't any traffic in the extra mile zone. Not that many people travel that part of the road, it seems. Consider the young person who has a vision of being a great doctor. Consider the years of education, college, medical school, internship, specialization, and finally, maybe after 15 years of post-high school work, he or she reaches the first goal, becomes an MD, and is now ready for the decades of practice or research which greatness will require. Or consider the farmer who in early spring daily prepares the soil for seed, plants his seeds, weeds, fertilizes, thins, waters, nourishes the growth, and finally, after months of toil, reaps a rich harvest. The farmer didn't expect to plant the seeds in hard soil and then return in a few days and reap a rich harvest. From experience, he knows that if he follows the laws of nature, the harvest will be plentiful, assuming nature cooperates with favorable weather conditions. This assumption requires faith and flexibility on the part of the farmer and on your part as you prepare for your personal life's harvest. What we've learned from our research with high achievers is that they are dedicated and they do extra hard mental work. It's habit with them now, so if you want it bad enough, you'll be willing to pay the price. You'll endure the struggle. You'll swim upstream against the current of mediocrity. Even though you may not realize immediate benefits, you'll persevere because you know that nothing worthwhile comes cheap. The law of harvest complements vision. It is the lifeblood of vision. It is vision in action. It separates the high achiever from those who tried and gave up. It is the excellence that Michelangelo and every other truly great human being from Socrates to Einstein have given us as a model to follow. The underachiever looks for the easy way out, the instant fix, the magic Jack and the Beanstalk seeds that will sprout overnight into a giant vine, leading to a hoard of treasure in the sky. The underachiever doesn't want to pay the price of sustained effort. He gives up when the work seems to get hard. If he can't see immediate results today, he will quit tomorrow. The underachiever lacks persistence and mental drive. He doesn't want to go the extra mile. And when he is forced to do something, he procrastinates, puts it off until the last possible minute, cramming, rushing, and creating a product of inferior quality. The underachiever sees only the end product and doesn't realize the hard mental work and the physical effort, the price someone else has had to pay to produce the product. He or she wants the end result without paying the price, and in pursuing it, takes the shortcuts, the easy ways, and always ends up with something inferior. After a while, inferiority becomes a habit, a way of life. The underachiever always settles for second best. The high achiever does it now, never puts off until tomorrow what has to be done today. The third mental characteristic of the high achiever is his habitual, unending search for knowledge. A famous lawyer once said, "When I'm congratulated in the courtroom after an impressive victory, and I hear the word luck attached to the compliment, I'm inclined to recall that the lucky part occurred at 2 o'clock in the morning as I pored over law books, bone-weary and red-eyed, preparing this case. Luck never seems to visit me at the movies, on a golf course, or on a cruise somewhere. My search for knowledge, information, and answers to problems is largely mental." High achievers are not workaholics, but are flexible in their application of the values that drive them toward excellence. High achievers maintain a continual search for knowledge. They are curious by nature. They want to discover how and why things work. They search out the mysteries of human nature to discover the things that motivate men. They may occasionally pick up some light reading, say at an airport, but generally are serious readers, especially of biographies. They find in biographies positive models from which to draw blueprints for their own success. They follow what the great semanticist Alfred Korzybski termed the principle of time binding, the ability of the human race to record its experiences and pass them on to future generations. Simply stated, this amounts to being able to use the time-tested knowledge of humankind and apply it to today's situations with positive energy. It is often called the wisdom of the ages. No one likes to be called average or an underachiever, but there are so many people in our society who are. They dissipate the wonderful learning power of their minds in passive experience, with television, for example. For hours a day, they submerge the anxieties and frustrations of their unproductive lives in the imaginary lives of television characters. They fall victim to programming aimed at the lowest common denominator of unintelligence, and so waste their marvelous, talent-laden mental capacity. The underachiever also has the trite habit of knowing everything. The underachiever is resistant to new ideas, new methods, and new inventions because change threatens his weak foundation of knowledge. The underachiever is quick to prejudge others according to this meager base of knowledge without exploring all the facts firsthand before making an appropriate decision. An underachiever lives in this funny world of black and white and misses the subtleties and nuances of the world as it is. He lives by labels and categories. An illustration that highlights this point is the man who declared that all Indians walk in single file. Challenged to justify his logic, he quipped, "Well, at least the one I saw was walking in single file." Underachievers hardly ever entertain the notion of "it appears to me to be this or that." Generally, they adopt and confirm whatever their first wild guess may be without benefit of any real thought or investigation. For the underachiever, a little bit of knowledge is dangerous because it makes him think he has all the knowledge necessary to make competent decisions. Underachievers expect people, institutions, and events to conform to their half-truths, and by doing so, they cut off any hope of learning new ways and ideas. They put themselves into a prison of solitary confinement, bound by their own self-imposed limits. Rousseau described their plight when he wrote, "Man is free, yet everywhere he is in chains." Some of these chains come from within, secured there by ourselves, while others are wrapped around us by others without our ever noticing. In essence, the underachiever, in the words of Thoreau, lives a life of quiet desperation, existing, not living, mentally dead while still alive. Perhaps the great achiever Albert Einstein best typified the idea of this habitual search for knowledge when he so brilliantly said, "The more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. And the more I realize I don't know, the more I want to learn." High achievers draw supreme pleasure out of creating something where once nothing existed. He thrives on solving problems and creatively turning problems into opportunities, and opportunities into achievements. This ability we call creativity, and is the fourth and final mental habit cultivated and developed by all high achievers. Most high achievers follow a predictable pattern in conceiving, developing, refining, and bringing to reality their ideas. First, the high achiever is motivated to create by perceiving a need or a problem. In this stage of the creative process, he gathers information, raw materials, and resources that seem applicable to the problem at hand. Secondly, the high achiever consciously releases the problem, rests, relaxes, or turns his or her attention in another direction. During this stage of incubation, the gathered images and thoughts in his mind shift and realign themselves. Then, during the third stage, through a surge of sudden inspiration, the answer or solution to the problem spontaneously occurs. This sudden illumination is accompanied by feelings of certainty and joy. It is the moment of discovery. During the last stage of this creative process, the high achiever goes to work to implement or apply the solution, making it a concrete reality. Underachievers do not value creativity. Their comfort zone lies in the act of imitation. They feel at home with following the crowd and seeing only the mundane in the beautifully sublime. To the high achiever, the act of creation is his or her lifeblood. It is the culmination and offspring of sensory-rich goal vision seasoned with hard mental work and knowledge. The second main category of high achiever characteristics or habits we will discuss is that of emotion, emotional control, and stability. The first area of emotional control we will discuss is the high achiever's habit of confronting and conquering fear, wherever and whenever the fear stimulus is present. This doesn't mean that you should dive into Niagara Falls simply because you have a fear of drowning, especially if you can't swim. That's suicidal. High achievers face their subtle fears, their everyday doubts, and the self-imposed limitations we all have to get rid of. One high achiever interviewed for a post-study follow-up told of how he learned to conquer his fears. "When I was 15," he recalled, "I had a fear of flying. I was terrified to go on an airplane. I decided my fear was a weakness I could not tolerate, so I set out to conquer it with a strength. I worked and saved my money to afford flying lessons, and after a few months, I passed my flight training and was awarded a private pilot's license by the FAA. In the process of training, I learned the laws of aerodynamics, why an airplane stays up, and gained a respect for the intensive training and qualification of pilots. In challenging my fear, I gained new skills, new emotional strength, greater self-confidence in my own abilities, and a sense of greater self-worth." It seems that a crisis or serious problem always enables the high achiever to discover the tremendous power within himself. It seems that every problem is an opportunity for growth and self-mastery. Every fear is an opportunity to conquer. Madame Marie Curie once said, "Nothing in life is to be feared. It is only to be understood." And yet many people find themselves in fear of poverty, criticism, rejection, ill health, pain, loss of love, old age, loss of freedom, and of death itself. The high achiever may not actually welcome any of these fears, but will do battle with each and every one. Picture yourself swimming upstream with a 20-pound weight hanging around your neck. Not a pleasant picture, is it? Being bound by their fears, average people put weights of one kind or another around their necks every day when they fail to face up to these emotions. The high achiever, though, does not accept such unnecessary burdens. The high achiever habitually understands that every adversity, every unpleasant experience, every failure, every physical and emotional pain carries with it the seed of an opportunity for gain and growth. The high achiever looks for that seed whenever he experiences that which would appear to the average person as adversity and germinates it into a harvest of personal strength and growth. The high achiever, whenever confronted with a feeling of fear, tackles the fear head-on before it can lodge and take root in his nervous system. The high achiever may appear to the ordinary person to take unnecessary risks, but the truth is that high achievers are very conservative in games of chance, but very daring in games that require skill. To them, whenever they have the opportunity to confidently apply their skills in a situation that may appear risky, the high achiever views such a situation as an opportunity. The second emotional characteristic common among high achievers is the habit of inner directedness. The inner-directed high achiever is motivated by the burning desire to achieve, to excel, to expand, and to improve. The inner-directed high achiever takes responsibility for his or her actions. When the inner-directed high achiever is angry, he doesn't say, "You made me mad," or "You hurt my feelings," or "You don't love me." The inner-directed individual perceives and processes the emotional reactions by thinking and feeling, "I allowed myself to get angry, to get hurt, or to feel unwanted." He or she then sets out to change the conditions that cause those emotional reactions. The inner-directed person doesn't blame failure on others or on conditions. He or she takes the full responsibility for mistakes, analyzing what went wrong and what went right, and then sets out on a path of refinement and self-correction, learning from the experience. The outer-directed person blames others for his misfortune, is dependent on others for approval, acceptance, and love before he will approve, accept, and love himself. His mood is set by the way he thinks people will perceive him. He reacts, for example, to himself in the mirror thinking, "Today I look terrible. No one will think I'm attractive. I'll be rejected. I'll have a terrible day." His mood is dependent on an outside source or a make-believe facade. In contrast, by being inner-directed, taking charge of the pathway he follows, the high achiever rides in control the crest of life's wave instead of being helplessly washed ashore by it. One of the most rewarding emotional habits the high achievers referred to in the studies was their ability to build warm and lasting relationships. The high achiever views people as having intrinsic worth, goodness. The high achiever learns more about himself by taking the time to listen to others. The high achiever possesses a sense of human responsibility for and an ability to respond to the needs of others who are close to him. And the high achiever has both the capacity and the desire to establish intimate relationships with his spouse, children, and family. Relationships built upon love, respect, and mutual understanding. If one has achieved all of his material goals, but has, due to neglect, lost the closeness and love of his family and children, he was not considered to be a high achiever in the studies. The achiever was found to establish and maintain a healthy balance between material goals and close, tender family relationships. The high achiever values the art of listening, listening with both mind and heart. By listening, the high achiever expresses respect for the worth he senses in others. The underachiever is always fighting personal and personality battles. Underachievers view people and relationships as being disposable. They are always trying to get even with those who hurt them. Underachievers always have to get in the last word, are always formulating what they want to say next while pretending to listen to others. We learned that another key emotional habit possessed by high achievers is a habit we call time competency. This means taking strength from the past, learning from mistakes, and gaining confidence from achievements. It means planning for the future, establishing clear sensory goals with action plans for their accomplishment. And most importantly, it means living in the present. Out of every hour, according to psychological studies, most people tend to spend 58 minutes either in forgetting about the past or in fearing the future, and only 2 minutes thinking about the present. Not so with high achievers. They treat each minute as an unrepeatable miracle. They put quality, energy, and vitality into each hour. They live, not merely exist. The high achiever awakens in the morning with a desire and purpose and views the day as a challenge, a new opportunity, a fresh start. To the high achiever, the morning is the time to put the finishing touches on the day's plan. The high achiever develops time-competent philosophies such as, if I wake up an hour earlier than I normally do, I can add 6 more 40-hour weeks to each year. By being time competent, the high achiever builds a necklace of successful years. A successful year is a combination of successful months, weeks, days, and hours spent in achieving their goals. And goals achieved are a collection of successful actions. That's not the way underachievers look at it. They don't have any goals, long or short term. They run out of time. Underachievers spend their time by living in the past, dwelling on their failures, their emotional hurts, and regrets for decisions they made or failed to make. Or underachievers spend this time somewhere off in the future, fearful of events to come. Underachievers always preface their goals, if they have any, with, "Someday I will. Someday I will be rich. Someday I will be successful. Someday I will change." High achievers were found to view their hopes, aspirations, and goals in the present, with "today I am," "today I am rich," "today I am successful," "today I am going to change." The fifth emotional habit commonly possessed by high achievers is their ability to receive and take to heart constructive criticism without getting angry, feeling rejected, or put down. The high achiever realizes he is not perfect and accepts such constructive feedback as an opportunity to maximize his personal growth and development. The high achiever takes the constructive side of critical feedback, measures it against his strengths and weaknesses, and then initiates a plan of action to improve the criticized attitudes, behaviors, and skills. The underachiever views constructive criticism as threatening. The underachiever usually responds to such feedback in anger, in hurt, or in denial. The underachiever then vows to get even with the source of the critical feedback or withdraws into a cowering shell of reticence. The high achiever, on the other hand, possesses a real dynamic sense of control, the power to change him or herself, and uses constructive criticism as a tool for continual personal and professional refinement. The last emotional characteristic we gleaned from the studies on achievers is that of power. The high achiever is a leader, not because he seeks leadership, but because it's freely given, a tribute to his personal self-mastery. High achievers possess the qualities others would like to possess, and thus, by example, they both show and lead the way. The goal of the underachiever is to make people think more of him. Underachievers harbor resentment at someone else's achievement. They glorify their own corporate gains and brag about themselves and their petty victories. The goal of the high achiever, the leader with real power, is to make other people think more of themselves. High achievers view their accomplishments as natural consequences of hard work and discipline, and high achievers empathize with the price others have had to pay to realize their achievements. This calm assuredness and respect for others is the magnetic force that draws people to the high achiever. It is the source of his power. So these are the mental and emotional habits common to all high achievers. Mentally, the high achiever possesses the habit of envisioning in vivid sensory detail their long and short-term goals. They know and respect the value of hard mental work. They possess an almost unquenchable thirst for knowledge. And they have learned instinctively, or by trial and error, to tap their mind's full creative potential. Emotionally, high achievers challenge and master their fears. They are driven by an inner force to achieve and take responsibility for their actions and the consequences of their actions. They are time competent. They balance the past and present with the future. They also have the emotional capacity to accept and apply constructive criticism to their personal and career development. And finally, because of their self-mastery and their ability to make others think more of themselves, high achievers possess a sense of real power, the power to inspire, to lead, and to harness the creative energy of others. This leads us to the third category of physical characteristics and habits, which were discovered in the studies to be universal among high achievers. The physical characteristics we will discuss here enables the achieving individual to develop and maintain a high level of energy, physical stamina that allows the body and mind to endure long periods of hard, disciplined mental, emotional, and physical work. From our research, we have identified five critical physical habits that high achievers have identified as being essential to their success. The first habit could have been listed under the mental or emotional category, but because it ultimately affects the body, we have chosen to include it under the physical. It is the ability to control physical stress. High achievers have the ability to sense when their bodies are in a state of stress and can eliminate that stress from their system. The high achievers cited in the studies had developed ways to dissipate daily tension, that, if left unattended, could develop into long-term, life-threatening stress. Most of the high achievers reported that they schedule time out of their daily activities to calm their minds and bodies, incorporating techniques such as listening to soothing music, mild meditation, or controlled breathing exercises. Supercharged achievers are able to dissipate the wear and tear effects of tension. Some have even mastered techniques that allow them to mentally control and direct the flow of oxygen-rich blood to tensed muscle and nerve tissue anywhere in their bodies. Such a method you will learn later in this program. Underachievers are under a constant state of stress and hypertension. Their muscles are rigid and their heart rates are fast. Their tense muscles constrict oxygen and nutrient-rich blood flow to their brain, vital body organs, and nervous tissue. In order to transport blood through these constricted passageways, their heart must pump harder to exert more pressure. This extra pressure, sustained over a period of time, weakens artery and vessel walls. A slight amount of pressure at the wrong time will rupture a weakened vessel. This results in a stroke or heart attack. The underachiever, in order to cope with this inner stress, uses mind-dulling tranquilizers and drugs. The high achiever, sensitive to stress and its potential debilitating effects, has learned to diffuse it through conscious effort and control. The second physical characteristic of the high achiever is his ability to resist illness and disease. The word disease means one who is not at ease or one who is tensed and stressed. Tension and stress is brought on by fear and anxiety. Any subtle fear or anxiety will cause muscles to contract and blood vessels to constrict. Physical disease or illness sets in when blood cannot be transported freely to the body's organs and nervous tissue to provide oxygen, nutrients, and antibodies, and to carry away and dispose of toxic waste materials. The high achiever seems to have a built-in resistance to communicable illnesses like colds and flu. When he feels the onset of a cold or flu, he mentally dismisses the illness from his system with the attitude that he doesn't have the time to be burdened with such a problem. Such a mental framework seems to activate the body's disease-fighting antibodies to eliminate most physical disorders associated with sickness. And when, on rare occasion, antibiotics are necessary, the high achiever can speedily release the illness from his system within a few days. On the other hand, the underachiever seems to catch a major cold or flu bug every year and loses 10 to 15 days of work as a result. With each change of season and whenever the weather changes, the underachiever is a prime target for colds, sore throats, and numerous other strange viral and bacterial infections. Underachievers dwell on, think, and talk about poor health. They harbor in their minds constant fears of major health catastrophes, such as cancer and heart attack. The high achiever's thoughts and images are health and vitality oriented. Though they are not immune to major disease and illness, statistics prove they live long and healthy lives. Contributing to the high achiever's stress-free and disease-resistant body is his habit of eating nutritious food. The high achievers surveyed in the studies indicated that they eat to live and do not live to eat. They enjoy vitamin-enriched vegetables, greens, and fruits, lean meats, poultry, and fish. They avoid salt, artificial additives and chemicals, processed sugars. They do sometimes pacify, in moderation, an occasional sweet tooth. You know a high achiever when you see one. He or she has skin that radiates with health, and their eyes shine with light and energy. You can also identify underachievers by their looks. They seem to be tired, foggy-eyed, and sluggish. The underachiever eats with abandon anything that teases the palate. Underachievers tend to be addicted to salts, sugars, and high-caloric foods. They don't know when to stop eating. As a result, they develop bodies that on the outside reflect carelessness and neglect. On the inside, they possess a poor body image. Many times, the underachiever feels he is beyond hope and is incapable of being loved. As a result, this loneliness seeks nourishment and succor, usually in the form of more food. A Hindu proverb states, "Even nectar is poison if taken to excess." High achievers seem to adhere to this philosophy as a way of life. They respect their bodies and know that alcohol and other harmful substances taken in excess will dull their sensory clarity and rob them of their precious energy. Complementing sound nutrition, resistance to illness, and the control of the effects of stress is physical exercise. The high achievers interviewed in the studies all indicated that they participate in a consistent discipline of aerobic exercise. They like the challenge of jogging, cycling, the rigors of racquetball, soccer, and tennis, the invigoration of cross-country or downhill skiing, the challenge of golf, or the simple pleasure of walking. The high achiever knows that oxygen is their life source and the energy substance of vitality. The underachiever, in contrast, is physically stagnant, with neither the desire, energy, discipline, or time organization necessary to sustain a plan of physical exercise. Most underachievers experience their exercise vicariously in front of a television set, watching others partake of the benefits of physical activity. The high achiever physically pushes himself the extra mile. He knows the joy of exhaustion, the victory of spirit when the body and mind surpass old limitations and expand to meet new physical challenges. The last physical habit associated with a high achiever that we need to discuss here is the habit of energy rejuvenation, or simply stated, adequate rest or sleep. The research we investigated indicates that most high achievers need only 6 to 7 hours of sleep a night. This period of rest allows the body and mind adequate time to revitalize itself, building and renewing body tissue and recharging the electrochemical capacity of the brain. Any more or less sleep, reported the achievers, seemed to dull their senses, reduce their mental clarity, and stress their bodies. Conversely, the underachievers reported that they found it difficult to go to sleep at night and nearly impossible to drag themselves out of bed in the morning. Many underachievers suffer from insomnia, disturbing recurrent dreams and nightmares. The underachiever, when awake, seems sluggish and dull after having spent the night tossing and turning, unable to turn off the myriad of voices, noises, and rapid-fire mental dialogues that seem to keep the wheels of his mind spinning well into the wee hours of the morning. The high achievers indicated that after a night of peaceful, restful sleep, they woke refreshed and energized every morning, looking forward to the new opportunity to experience the beauty of life in its fullest sense. Now it's time for us to discuss the material or financial habits that high achievers have cultivated and developed. The first characteristic we will discuss is what we call the habit of dollar cents, a concept that quite accurately describes one of the prime reasons why high achievers enjoy such a high level of material success. The concept focuses on the fact that we can either spend our money on capital goods, such as real property, stocks, machinery, metals, and other growth-oriented goods, or we can spend our dollars on consumer goods, such as automobiles, stereos, cameras, television, items that depreciate over a short period of time and lose value. In the short term, the more we spend on capital goods, the less we can afford to spend on consumer items. And the more we spend on consumer items, the less we can spend on capital goods. By investing in capital-generating items, we limit our current consumption of luxury consumer goods, sacrificing those luxuries for a future profit. High achievers invest in capital-generating goods today, sacrificing the valueless consumer items because they know that this choice in investment will generate enough of a return tomorrow that they will be in a position to buy all of the luxury items they will ever desire or need. Conversely, underachievers invest their dollars foolishly in luxury items and soon come to realize, many times too late, that their investments are worthless monuments to their lives of indulgence and self-gratification. More sadly, they discover that after they have acquired a taste for the good life, there is little money left to sustain that lifestyle. The high achiever builds his financial foundation on the solid rock of capital-generating investments, sacrificing the monetary pleasures and luxuries that such money could buy until a later date. The second financial characteristic of the high achiever is the habit of financial control. High achievers budget their financial resources knowing exactly where each dollar goes and what it will return. The high achiever realizes the fallacy of the get-rich-quick scheme. He resists those so-called opportunities because he knows from history and experience that only the dedication to excellence, a commitment to quality, and lots of mental, even physical effort will bring the lasting riches of life. Any shortcuts and backdoor visits will not add to a lasting foundation of financial security, independence, and a lasting feeling of achievement. When you look at the other end of the spectrum and see the underachiever, you are likely to see a person who believes in the philosophy of get rich quick. he sees the fruits of others' efforts and wants to take a bite without paying the price of time and work. The high achiever follows the well-seasoned advice of Benjamin Franklin. There are two ways to solve your money problems, he says. Augment your means, make more money, or diminish your wants. Either will do, but the best plan of all is to do both at the same time. The third financial habit common to high achievers is the habit of career security. The high achiever understands the nature of the free enterprise system and utilizes this principle to create a solid and growing career base. If the high achiever is an employee, he knows that his employer views him primarily as a capital investment. To stay employed, he realizes that he must generate a return to his employer that is more than what his employer is paying him, at least $10 for every $1 he receives in pay. The high achiever, once he has demonstrated the ability to produce, is given more responsibility, earning greater pay with the opportunity to produce even a greater amount of profit for his employer. If the high achiever is an employer, he fairly rewards his productive employees in proportion to their contribution to the organization's profitability. In contrast, the underachiever thinks the world owes him a living. He thinks just because he graces the workplace with his presence, his employer should pay him handsomely. The underachiever is always looking for a new job, continually circulating resumes that contain nothing more than a glorified attendance record of where he has put in his time before, a puffery of subjective skills he thinks he possesses. Yet ask him what those skills have generated in dollars and cents for his past employers, and he can't answer. He has never considered that angle before. The underachiever will always be the last to know and the first to go when the economy slides. The high achiever will always be in demand, no matter what the economic conditions, because he will always be able to quantify in dollars and cents his distinct contributions to profitability. The last financial characteristic that the studies found to be in common among all high achievers is their understanding and application of the law of compensation. Simply stated, whenever one gives of their substance, they will be compensated in kind, many-fold for their efforts. This principle can best be demonstrated if we look at an example from nature. If you were to plant one tomato seed, it would germinate into a plant that would bear a minimum of 10 tomatoes. Let's say each of these tomatoes is filled with 100 seeds. If you didn't eat the tomatoes and were to save the seeds, you would have a total of 1,000 seeds from the original one seed. Come next planting season, if you planted all 1,000 seeds and all of these seeds produced plants with a minimum of 10 tomatoes, with each tomato containing a minimum of 100 seeds, you would have at the end of your second harvest a total of 1,000,000 seeds. If that's hard to believe, stop and calculate it mathematically. 1,000,000 to 1 return in 2 years. High achievers realize the power in this natural law and apply it liberally by donating a portion of their financial increase unhesitatingly and without compulsion to causes they deem to be worthwhile. Underachievers do not take advantage of this law of financial cause and effect, even though it could powerfully work for them. Conversely, whatever the underachiever does not share or impart, he loses in two ways. One, he loses the increase he could have obtained by imparting a part of his substance, and two, the law works in reverse, shutting out opportunity altogether. The underachiever swims against the stream of natural law. Unfortunately, the current is swifter than the underachiever, and he gets washed away, at least financially. The high achiever understands this basic law of compensation and reaps many times over its abundant benefits. The last category we concern ourselves with in this program concerns the basic spiritual habits most high achievers have developed. This is not an area where simple, straightforward habit patterns are the rule. It is an area of personal mystery and wonder, different for each living human being. By spiritual, we mean the fusion, the synthesis, bringing into focus the elements of body, mind, emotion, and material characteristics that gives one direction and purpose, and the energy and internal driving force to fulfill that purpose. This habit of spiritual fusion or focus can be compared to sunlight on a cold winter's day. The sun's heat potential and fiery energy can hardly penetrate the freezing cold, even on the brightest, the sunniest of winter days. But take a magnifying glass, hold it over a piece of paper, focusing the massive energy of the sun, and you create a flame, a fire, capable of consuming everything it touches. The focus made the difference. The high achiever continually brings into focus, reviews, and refines his habits of body, mind, and emotion. The resulting focus can be called spirit. It can be called mind with a capital M. It can even be identified by the psychological term superego. Whatever we name it, it is the focus which helps us most in reflecting and reviewing our performance in the areas we have discussed, reflecting on what we might be against where and what we are now, and looking for discrepancies between the two. These discrepancies become needs, areas to be mastered, controlled, and changed. Underachievers do not value in-depth reflection. They only do it when they are forced into it through a major life crisis, such as a death, illness, or financial ruin. The high achiever has developed and refined this habit of focusing, reflection, introspection, and behavioral refinement. The second and final spiritual characteristic possessed by every high achiever who has ever lived is what we refer to as a sense of higher self. Concerning this sense of higher self, one 19th century American theologian Parley P. Pratt wrote, "An intelligent being in the image of God possesses every organ, attribute, sense, sympathy, affection that is possessed by God himself. But these are possessed by man in a rudimental state, in the subordinate sense of the word. Or in other words, these attributes are in embryo and are to be gradually developed. They resemble a bud, a germ, which gradually develops into bloom and then by progress produces fruit after its own kind." And so it is with high achievers. They possess a perspective, a vision of higher self, a sense of purpose that transcends time and space. They instinctively feel that they are potential gods in embryo. With this dignified sense of self-worth blended with a balance of purpose, human respect, and hard work, the high achiever brings into being that which seems impossible for the common man or woman. Now that we have outlined the characteristics, behaviors, and specifically the habits of the high achiever, and sharply contrasted the differences separating the high achiever from the underachiever, let's proceed to do an in-depth assessment and see how you measure up against this model. Emerson said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." You will begin that examination on the next cassette.